Hello, and thank you for calling the NWR Newscast. This is Nathan. I am enjoying a beautiful, sunny Southern California day. May I ask, please, who is calling me?
I think I have the wrong phone number.
You're calling the NWR Newscast, right?
Did I win something? Am I the eighth caller? Is it the eighth caller? It's actually the 48th caller, I think, is the correct number.
This is the 48th episode of the NWR Newscast.
Oh, my God, today. It's Nathan, holy shit.
Oh, my God, it's me. Joining me today, Andy Gergen.
Hey, what's up?
Zachary Miller.
What it is, yo?
And the silent ghost of Neil Monahan.
We've challenged Neil to not say a word for about a half an hour. We're gonna see how successful that
not
is.
Not gonna happen.
Yeah. I'll bet he can do it, Zach. Let's bet some money. Let's bet some money here in front of everyone.
Zach will give you one big breasted statue.
There you go.
I will decline this wager. Okay. Why don't we start off with? I guess should we actually explain what this is? This is the NWR Newscast.
I got Catwoman yesterday.
We cover news. You know, this is our 48th episode for
episode two till
Saturday,
50.
April 9th. Yeah, that sounds like some good math.
I'm pretty sure that's right.
Yeah, it is. Okay. First up, Andy.
Sorry, I'm typing. I should probably stop typing.
Zach, it's unprofessional.
So unprofessional.
Please stop.
Get one of them air keyboards.
Lest I have to lift a finger to edit your noises.
I think they call them airboards for short.
Yeah.
Gotcha. I don't have a ton to talk about. I did get a copy of Rango for the Wii to review.
Rango.
I played most of that game already. It's really short. Like, this can't be more than a 3-hour game. I think I sat down for about a grand total of like a little over 2 hours, and I'm already on the next to last stage, I think. It does a couple of things really, really well. There's a couple of things not so well. What it does well is it captures the spirit of the movie quite a bit. I'm pretty sure it has
Johnny
Depp.
Which is excellent, by the way.
Yeah, it's a really good movie. You went and saw it?
Yeah, I took that free ticket and went and saw it on Sunday, and I friggin' loved every second of it.
Should I go see it or wait to watch it on my 3DS?
It's not 3D. I didn't see it in 3D. I say go see it.
Okay.
It's kind of dark for a kid.
Yeah, there was some stuff in there that was really kind of weirded me out.
Was it like Little Nemo levels of weird?
No, it's like
an honest to God Western, but with animals, and like as a cartoon, and like every once in a while it reminds you it's a cartoon, but most of the time it doesn't.
And a blind mole dad with what looks like a penis on his face.
Yeah. Anyway, the Wii game sticks pretty faithful to the story of not the story the style, I guess, of the movie.
Does it retell the story of the movie?
No, it's a completely different story. It clearly takes place afterward. It doesn't really ever say that out loud, but it's a story that takes place kind of after the events of the movie, from what I can tell. But yeah, Rango is investigating some like alien rocks that have fallen from the sky, and
on the DS.
How it relates to the disappearance of Beans' father. I'm pretty sure they got Johnny Depp to play the voice in the game. I'm not 100% sure because I haven't looked at it, but man, it sounds just like him. I should say it sounds just like the character. The character sounds nothing like Johnny Depp. That was really like, I mean, I knew it was him going in, but I kind of forgot immediately. And when I got reminded in the end credits, I was shocked that I hadn't even noticed it being Johnny Depp the entire time through. But the game basically is split into three different types of gameplay. The first type of gameplay is very sort of Zelda-esque, and I mean that very generously. By that I mean it's over-the-shoulder platforming with no combat. Like they give you a punch, but it's only there to destroy boxes. That's all it's for. There's no actual combat in the overworld. There's just like exploring the stages. Like there's climbing and there's jumping, but there's really no danger except for a mistimed jump. And it plays fine. There's not much to it. It's pretty bland. The graphics are actually kind of impressive. Like the textures look good for the most part. The levels are sort of it's sort of a lot of really cool ways of reminding you that you're smaller. Like you at some point explore some guy's office in like a trailer, and lots of like climbing around desks and stuff like that. It's well designed, but
kind of like a Deadly Creatures kind of vibe.
I only played a little bit of that, but I think so.
You know, like the whole Honey, I Shrunk the Kids deal.
Sure, yeah.
Yeah.
There's not anything to it. All you're doing is collecting these little star coins, these little sheriff coins, which help you out during the second and third gameplay types, which are very similar in that they are basically just both shooting galleries. You reach a certain invisible tripwire in the exploratory part, and then it cuts to a part of the game where you can't move. All you can do is duck behind cover. The one cover directly in front of where you're already standing, and shoot using the remote to fire. It's a shooting gallery. You've played them on the Wii a million times. Is it a good one? I mean, the frame rate's solid and the graphics are good, but there's not much to it. There's multiple weapon types, but they're just icons. They're just power ups you find, and they wear off after a little bit. You can use your star coins, your sheriff coins you've been collecting to become invincible for a short period of time. You know, and every once in a while, the third gameplay type I was mentioning is that every once in a while they put you on a vehicle or an animal of some kind and let you ride around while you're shooting. But you don't do any of the controlling of that. It's done for you. The driving is all handled by the computer, and you're better, still just shooting.
I'm sorry. Better or worse than Halo? AI driving.
Suicidal on rails AI. Or?
Yeah.
Well, I mean, it's canned. I mean,
it's on rails. Okay.
Yeah, it's very much on rails. Like, there's actually a couple of really cool set pieces, but as that you don't get to do any of the work yourself, it just kind of feels like, huh, that would have been really awesome if I had done that. You're just shooting, and that's fine. I mean, the shooting is a little challenging from time to time, but it's not like I was ever in danger of dying. It's just sometimes I got a little heated when I was running out of ammo, and there's actually a zombie stage. Where zombie, I don't know, moles or whatever are coming at you, and you know those take a lot of hits to kill. So there was times when I was getting ambushed by two or three zombies, and I had to reload my gun, and I got hit a few times. But they give you so much extra health, and they give you you have six bullets, and you have to reload, and the reloading takes a few seconds. But really, that's the only challenge in the game is doing your reloading in a timely fashion. I mean, I don't know. It's one of those things where do you reward a game with a good score for succeeding at a very incredibly lazy game design? Because that's what they've done. They've basically said, let's make the easiest game we can. Let's just make it really well. And that's
we do that. Yeah. We do that for Nintendo all the time.
Yeah, I guess.
Not to dog on Nintendo. It's just their games are very simple.
They
ultimately,
are.
Yeah.
By and large, a lot of them, I'm not saying that there aren't complex games, but a lot of them are very reminiscent of games we played plenty of times, and they're pretty simplistic.
Sure.
I feel like there's a real missed opportunity in letting you just run around and shoot at the same time. Just put enemies in the exploratory stages and let you use the Wii Remote to fire at them. Like, I don't understand why that would have been such a hard thing to do, but... I don't know. I mean, the presentation is very good. The level design is pretty good, but there's just nothing to the game. It's just incredibly simple and over very quickly. So I haven't quite decided what kind of score I think that deserves. I have to give it some more thought. But it's not a bad game. And if you really liked the movie, and you're craving more, it's not a bad way to go. But I've heard through the grapevine that the Xbox and PlayStation versions of the game are actually more fully featured action platformers, so I don't know. I'll have to just do some research into that and figure out if the Wii owners were once again kind of screwed out of a good game.
Maybe they could only fit the platforming in. There just wasn't.
Well, it's like Dead Space. Sounds like a Dead Space extraction kind of situation.
Yeah, maybe. I mean, possibly. I don't know. I haven't done enough research to figure out what the Xbox and PlayStation versions of the game are like, but. Yeah, I mean, it kind of sounds like they just sort of like decided that the Wii owners didn't really get a very good game to go with their movie.
That's a shame. And actually, that reminds me,
it's uncommon, but it is a shame.
That's a lot like Lego Star Wars 3 that I just recently reviewed. They tried their
transition.
Best. Yeah, look at that. They actually tried to give you the full PS3 and Xbox experience, but in doing so, they reached a little too far and the game starts to chug and it just doesn't work as nicely as it would if they had just kind of downscaled a bit of a few of the things.
There's a balance, right? I mean, they want to make a good gaming experience, and they don't want to, you know, intentionally limit Wii owners, but they have to decide how much of the game is worth sort of downscaling to what the Wii is capable of versus versus actually just trying to do it full. And there's a real balance to be had there when you're making a game like that. But you know, I played Lego Star Wars the first two games, and I liked them okay, but I think I didn't enjoy the classic saga as much because the stages got very long. It was a fairly brisk experience in the original game, which was the new trilogy.
Yeah.
How do the stages work in the new one? They have a pretty big hub level, don't they?
The hub level, you kind of go down below the main ship and run around and unlock with the golden bricks. But mostly you just pick your missions from a menu, you know, sort of a hologram.
Okay.
Instead of running around. I haven't played the previous LEGO games, but I guess I was looking up the old one, and you would kind of run around the cantina and go through different doors.
Sure. Yeah, that's basically how it worked.
Yeah, in this one, you just kind of bring up a menu, and I think the rest of it is just kind of exploration for exploration's sake and unlocking different characters and stuff. But the main story arc is accessible just right from the get-go from the same hub.
But you have to be familiar with the storyline, right?
Not really. I mean, I didn't play or I didn't watch the Clone Wars cartoons, and I thought it was, you know, I still enjoyed it.
Gotcha.
I got enough of the sort of inside baseball jokes because they kept them pretty general to Star Wars as opposed to making them specific. I mean, I'm sure there were some that I just didn't catch, but, you know, I was able to enjoy the story considering it's all pretty much primarily comprised of sort of pantomiming.
I gotcha.
Yeah.
I still intend to watch that show. Everyone who's seen it who I know says it's awesome.
Yeah, I was going to watch it on Netflix, but it's not there.
Boo!
But Twin Peaks is. So
you know what else is on Netflix now? The Larry Sanders Show. That shit
I've heard
is
very,
funny.
I've heard very, very good things about that, but I've never watched it. I think I might have to watch it soon.
It is excellent.
Cool.
Andy, what else do you have to talk about?
Let's see.
I was going to talk about Rango too.
Oh yeah. Okay. You want to do it in that order?
Yeah.
I guess we could.
Yeah, I guess we could mix it up.
I mean,
if you really want to go in that order, I guess we could. I mean, whatever.
Sure. You know, it's not like you. It's not like that would have made a great transition, Rango to Rango. But you know,
it's. Actually, Zach, I don't think you're seeing the finer details of podcasting in there, but go ahead.
I think it's pretty clear that Rango to Star Wars is a better transition than Rango to Rango.
It is. Yeah, well, now you ruined it, so thanks. I was kind of down on Rango last week when I talked about it, but I'd only been an hour through the game, and it really is a very simplistic game. It's a top-down, almost Zelda-y, a Phantom Hourglass-y kind of game where you're Rango and you're running around this three-dimensional world. So Rango is a polygonal game. It actually looks pretty good for what it is. And I was annoyed because it seemed to be just Rango shooting things and not shooting things very well, and there's no real reward for what you do. And it turns out all of that is true. And continues to be true, but you get more abilities the farther you get in the game. And the new abilities really kind of open things up, because for each new ability Rango gets, each new costume change, he can affect the environment in different ways. So like when he's a digger, when he's a miner, I should say.
When he's an Australian?
Yes, when he's an Australian,
okay.
He can burrow for treasure, and he gets a whole bunch of treasure, or he can shove heavy rocks around so you can open up new paths. And really, these new paths, they don't do a whole lot. You know, you'll find a treasure chest here and there. You'll find an alternate route to a place you're already going, a shortcut. But there is something fun about running around places you've already been with new abilities. You know, just like a Zelda game or a Metroid game. Even if the reward's not all that great. You know, the rewards are always the little star bits that Andy was talking about, and these little metals, which you go into the town of Dirt and you trade in for, you know, minor upgrades to your attack power or your run speed or, you know, crap like that that ultimately doesn't matter. But, you know, it's just this sense of progression that kind of eggs you on. And, you know, Rango's a good character. The script, there's no voice acting, but the script is clearly inspired by the movie. He talks in kind of this jibber-jabber that he did in the film, and it's just a fun little game. Now, I'm about to post a review. I think I'm going to give it something like a 7, just because it's kind of a shallow game. But, you know, if you really like, just like Andy said, if you really like the movie, the DS game actually sounds more fun than the Wii game.
To me, too, actually.
Yeah. There you go, Rango. Go see the movie instead of playing either game. How about that?
That's what I'm going to do.
That sounds like a fantastic idea.
Great game. I'd see that movie again. I'm going to see it when it comes to the secondhand theaters. I'm going to drag my wife to it. She's like, it's a kid's movie. And I said, and now that I've seen it, it is clearly not.
No. No, it's really not. I mean, it's. I think kids can enjoy it, but I don't think it's. I don't really think it's aimed towards kids. I think it's. I think, you know, a lot of the modern CGI films sort of try to appeal to adults while simultaneously being entertaining for kids.
Right.
It's a balance that they strike. I think this movie leans heavily towards the
adults.
The former. Yeah.
And you know what's. You know what struck me about that movie is that you look at a movie like a Pixar movie or a DreamWorks movie. There's not a whole lot of detail in the characters. You know, they're very
right.
They're very cartoony. Well, they're really detailed and kind of
creepy.
That's cool.
Yeah, creepily realistic in Rango, especially some of the townsfolk who are moles and stuff. Like, it's
weird looking.
Do you know what looks
really creepy? The Mars Needs Moms? Is that what it was called?
I haven't seen that.
Yeah,
I've
that
looks creepy.
What is that?
I hate that. It's like rotoscoped with people.
That is creepy.
Ugh.
It looks really weird.
Ugh.
You know, one of the things I think sort of like makes Rango stand out a little bit is the fact that they actually use real guns. Like,
it's not just
like laser guns or like fake animal weapons. They use the same guns they have in Westerns. Like,
that's awesome.
It is
one of the main bad guys
is
a rattlesnake who has a Gatling gun as his tail.
Yeah, instead of a
rattle. That's awesome.
He is awesome. And he's voiced by the guy who was... Davy Jones in the Pirates movies.
Oh, nice.
And, you know, that whole movie, the whole movie has just excellent casting all the way.
Definitely.
Yeah.
Nice.
Definitely. Just go see the movie, Nathan. It's an excellent film.
I will do that.
And it has a cameo from a famous actor who I'm not going to reveal.
Tim Allen?
Yes.
Robin Williams?
As himself.
Amazing.
He plays the genie. It's a reprise. Surprisingly,
It's a dual role. They play a home repair genie.
All of a sudden, they break into song.
They have to call him Genie though because of copyright.
Yeah,
right.
Genie.
From out of the dust came a man, true and bold, champion of the Fandango. By night he drank whiskey, by day killed Batman. The townspeople knew him as Rango. Coming down the mountainside, the people hailed his name, and of his legend they sang. With iron in his heart and steel in his club, he pumped their heads all full of lead. Rango, Rango.
I have a couple of other games to talk about. Nothing too exciting because I haven't put more than an hour into either, really. That's not true. I put a couple hours into one of them, but I got a copy of 999 for DS, the 9 doors, 9 persons, 9 hours, or whatever it stands for.
Right.
This is that sort of visual novel dealion on DS that was getting sort of really high acclaim from a few very specific outlets towards the end of the year last year. I know James played it on RFM, but I don't think he ever actually wrote a review for the site, so maybe I'll do that. It's interesting. Like, It's an interactive novel where your character wakes up in a room with a watch tied to his, or like permanently attached to his wrist, and no memory of how he got there, and sort of immediately, like, you're on a boat, and one of the first things that happens in the game is that the window of the deck of the little, like, room you're in caves in, and the room's filling with water. And so you have to examine the room. You know those little flash games that you find online where it's like, here's a room, now figure out how to get out. Like, yeah. there's little items, objects throughout the room to sort of investigate and find clues. And it's very similar to that so far. I mean, I've only really had to solve one of the puzzles, but it involved sort of taking a picture frame and unscrewing the picture frame to get a note that was inside. And the note had a symbol, and the symbols were corresponded to numbers. And then there were two keys and two briefcases, and you had to put the numbers were the combinations on the briefcase, and you use the key with the combination on each one of them to get a set of key cards, which could be used to exit the room.
Wow. And then you found out Jesus was a redhead, and he was actually Campbell.
it's got sort of a, anime-ish storytelling. I'm not a big anime guy. I'm not a big fan of the really heavily introspective Japanese storytelling that is in a lot of like JRPGs. Sort of like really, really over the top inner monologue and stuff like that. It's a bit overdone in this game, but the story is pretty interesting. So I've only played it for about an hour, but I'll probably stick with it. I'm not sure if I'll play through to get the multiple endings, because this is one of those games, as I understand it, that requires like several playthroughs to really get it, to understand how the story really unfolds. But
like Mulholland Drive.
Sure, like Mulholland Drive. I've never seen it. I couldn't tell you.
Is that about old people?
No.
Is it about a lottery ticket?
No.
I think I have it confused with something else.
You must.
Is it about a guy who wakes up on a boat with a wrist watch attached to his arm?
Isn't that basically every movie?
That's most movies, yeah. But it's kind of fun. I mean, I was kind of glad to get it while it was still attainable, because I have a feeling this is going to be a game that's going to be very hard to get a hold of, and I don't really intend on keeping it. I'm going to play it until I'm bored with it and then probably sell it back on eBay just to sort of recoup my efforts. I tend to not have a very good attention span when it comes to games like this, so I don't have a lot of faith in myself to finish it. But in the event that I do, I'm glad that I played through it now while it's still like kind of available to get. But
so do you at least kind of enjoy it for what it is?
So far, yes. But I have this thing where I fall asleep incredibly easily. Like, I can't read before bed because I will never make it past the first page.
I'm the same way.
I can't watch a movie after 8 because I'll fall asleep half an hour in, guaranteed. It's just, I think it just comes from years of not getting enough sleep in college and then sort of after college too. But, and this game is very, very heavily leveraged on reading.
You're just now catching up.
It's sort of an interactive novel. So we'll see if I can play this game. Like, honestly, I've already fallen asleep while playing it once, which I do not say to slight the game in at all. It's just, that's me.
You just have narcolepsy.
I don't have narcolepsy because it's not like I fall asleep anywhere, but man, I fall asleep really easily. Like I insomnia is not a thing that I suffer from at all.
All I have to do is
open a book and I'm out.
I've got to interject something here just to make Nathan mad. Nathan, I started reading Crime and Punishment based on your recommendation.
Right.
I hate this book.
Which translation do you have? I've read a couple of translations. And some of them are completely dry. They're like reading Walden.
That's what this is. It's whatever.
I watched
was
the
free
ants
on
wrestle.
Kindle. How about that?
And as they wrestled, I decided I didn't want to pay my taxes.
Yeah. No, they're. But I think the thing I don't like about it is that there are entire chapters of just exposition. Like nothing fucking happens for entire chapters.
Right.
And I but went into this book
but,
thinking,
but things are,
get
but things
with
are
the
happening
crime
inside
the
of him.
Punishment.
It's, I don't know, it's about following his thoughts.
That is exactly what it is. That's exactly what it is. It's
and I didn't
crazy.
Like that format when Thoreau did it, but when this was done, I really enjoyed it.
All right.
That's why I don't like books.
I don't like that Catcher in the Rye for the same reason. Because it's just a stream of consciousness.
I'm lying. I don't not like books. I don't read a lot. I do like books. It takes, like, it's a really kind of a major effort for me to actually finish a book of any substance, though. Like,
no, me
I tend
too.
I tend to only read over lunch for, like, 20 minutes at a time, so I'll pick up a book that's, like, 1,000 pages and finish it over, like, 4 months.
Yeah. All I read are technical papers that are, like, 5 pages long. That's all I've got time for.
Yep.
Ooh, new dinosaur. All right, now I'm done with that.
New dinosaur, don't you mean old dinosaur?
Yes, you're right.
Speaking of old dinosaurs, why don't we go ahead and let Neil talk, if that's okay with you guys.
Look at that. Isn't he like the youngest one here?
No.
Oh, you are?
No, I think I am.
All right.
Yeah. It ain't me.
It's not me.
Well, okay. Okay, so Andy and Zach both recently got pilot wings for their 3DSs and wanted to add a little bit to what we talked about last week.
Andy, and the week before.
Well, like, yeah, I think last week, I had just gotten my 3DS in the mail that day. I didn't really have much in the way of games for it. I had The Sims and Madden, but, like, let's be clear, those don't count. But I did get Pilot Wings a couple days later, and I don't have a lot to say about it that hasn't already been said, but I will say that I'm really enjoying it more than I thought I would. I think the use of 3D in the game is excellent. I was actually surprised to hear the guys on Player One podcast say that they had to turn the 3D down a little bit.
Yeah, that was weird that to hear.
I think it's a total showcase for the 3D.
Absolutely.
Like that and Ridge Racer, I think, are the two best uses of 3D. I mean, not necessarily for gameplay-wise, but just for immersion.
Like, it doesn't do a ton with, like, realistic textures or anything, but the game looks gorgeous. Like,
it also shows you a lot more depth. Like, I've seen in a couple, like, reviews and impressions that, like, there are certain missions in the game that are easier when you have that depth of field.
Yeah.
I totally believe that. The lighting effects in the game are really gorgeous. Like, I just, every once in a while when you fly by,
flare.
There's bloom on the texture sometimes, yeah. like the terrain that looks really fantastic.
Especially in the evening settings.
I love going between the three different day settings, night settings,
yeah.
I don't know.
Like, there's more I'd like to see done with it. Like, I kind of feel like this is a great first step for a better Pilot Wings game, which I'll probably never get. But even so, like, really, really enjoying it. Really glad that I decided to pick up this. It was between this and Street Fighter, and at the end of the day, like, I've played Street Fighter so many hours of my life.
That was my exact choice, Andy. I went in there, I was like, all right, I could get this game, which I suck at, but looks like it's more content, or this game, which I'll probably be good at, and it's the kind of game I like.
Well, I didn't play Air Sports on Wii Sports Resort that much, so, like, this is largely new content.
See, for me, I played the hell out of Air Sports.
It's a whole different game.
I
mean,
still
the Air Sports
Pilot Wings
blows by comparison.
Oh, very true.
Air Sports is a little tech demo.
This is a full game.
Pilot Wings. I'm only into the bronze stuff, but the only... I just love free flight. I wish free flight wasn't timed.
That's one of the downfalls about it, is that free flight...
You can extend the time,
you can extend
though,
it pretty far. Like, I think I have it up to 5 minutes now, but...
Oh, 5 minutes. Nice. Do you have to unlock that?
Yeah,
or right
when you collect the balloons...
The more you play
which
it.
I think you unlock the different extras in free flight mode as you progress through the different missions, so you might not have unlocked it yet.
Okay.
But eventually, okay, I think by the time you get to... By the time you beat gold, the gold missions, you'll have the ability to collect extras... there's different extras for each vehicle. And there'll be, like, there's, like, Mii trophies, stunt rings for the airplane. And you beat those, and there's 60 of those in each one spread out across the three different times of day. And you unlock different dioramas, which are largely kind of bullshit, but it's still fun to try to collect everything and unlock everything. And then there's also these balloons that show up at different times of day for each vehicle. And as you collect them, you unlock... more time that you can use.
Oh, cool. Well, I just know the game, it's real relaxing, and the 3D really does sell it.
There's some really awesome shit tucked away in that game, too, especially if you're a fan of Pilot Wings 64. I haven't actually unlocked everything, because I'm still struggling to get 3 stars in the last tier, and then there's another tier unlockable once you get 3 stars. And then after you get 3 stars in that, you unlock this really, really cool reference to Pilot Wing 64 if you played that. I haven't actually gotten it, but for the purposes of the review, I had to look this up. And when I looked it up, I was just like, oh, cool.
I think the only frustrating thing so far, and I told these guys, is that landing is a little arbitrary.
Hmm. Like, what do you mean?
Actually, I really enjoy landing. I find landing to be very, very like rewarding. I think I'm pretty decent at it too.
Yeah, I mean, okay. I'm curious. What do you mean?
I'm finding it tough
Zach?
To hit that balance. It seems like I slow down, and if you hit with even a hint of a splash, you lose points. It seems like
it's better than the older Pilot Wings games where you'd hit with just a little bit of a splash and your fucking plane would like blow up. That's what I remember from Pilot Wings Super Nintendo is the landing being very unforgiving.
Oh, gotcha.
And this is pretty forgiving
about the game. There's sort of as you get close to the ground, especially at night, you can hear like little sound effects coming from the earth. Like there was crickets chirping at nighttime.
Oh, cool.
And then one time, I swear I heard someone playing Super Mario Brothers.
Yeah, there's a house there that if you pass by that, and if you get the information point for it in free flight, it says something about like because it's the death music from Mario Brothers, and it's like someone must be playing their old NES. They must not be very good at it.
That's awesome.
I love the little Easter eggs
in this
game.
That, and I thought I was like losing my mind. I was like, what the hell's going on? But that's awesome. That's a great little touch.
And my wife likes. I showed it to my wife, and I couldn't see it because it's blurry from my position. But she thought it was awesome with the 3D.
Yeah.
The I shouldn't say the Pilot Wings. That makes me sound like an old person. Pilot Wings is actually the game that made me cave on my 3DS purchasing plan.
It's a good demo game.
Yeah, I was at Best Buy. I was walking by. I'm like, yeah. I was like, oh hey, girlfriend, look at 3DS, and I kind of hunch over it. I'm like, oh, it's Pilot Wings. I didn't get to play this. And then I felt how nice the circle pad worked.
Oh, that circle pad is awesome.
I didn't really get to use it so much at E3, and I just looked at the game. It's like, oh, God, I need this.
You guys are lucky I'm not playing Pilot Wings right now. I mean, the ultimate testament to the quality of that game, in my opinion, is the fact that I just went through a marathon of reviewing, I think at this point, something like 10 3DS games in a two-week period. And after I finished all my review games, I went immediately back to Pilot Wings. And it's the only game I've played in the past couple days.
It looks like a great relaxing game to play like during lunch hour or something.
That's how I've been playing it. Although it is,
that's what I.
It is kind of funny.
That's the impression I got.
While going for the 3 stars, I was hanging out with some friends last night, and I was playing some Pilot Wings, and a friend of mine was playing Super Meat Boy on my 360. He's trying to get all the Dark World levels.
Complete opposite games.
No. I will make a case for them being similar because once he turned on the music, the Super Meat Boy, and as I'm trying to get 3 stars in Pilot Wings, shit got a lot more frustrating. Like, a lot of that game's relaxing feel has to do with the music, which is excellent, by the way. Spoiler alert, on the latest episode of Radio Trivia, TYP and I talk Pilot Wings Resort. It's one of the songs. I mean, I think the music is really great in this game, and it really fits the mood, and it does make it relaxing, even though, especially when you're trying to go for 3 stars, it can get really, really frustrating.
Yeah,
but it's still fun.
No, I can.
Have you gotten 3 stars on that one mission where you have to hover for 3 minutes and then land?
Yeah, everyone's complaining about that. I didn't really find
that so hard for me.
I mean,
that's so difficult.
Was that the one where you have to get the high altitude too?
Yeah.
I would just go for the high altitude, and by the time I'd be done with that, it's just like a gentle ride down. I mean, the first time I did it, I thought you were supposed to do it under 3 minutes. So, like, I got no points for time, and I was like, what happened? And then I reread the mission description and was like, oh. Because basically you need to land, like, right at 3 minutes to get the full time bonus and get 2 or 3 stars usually.
So, Zach, you've gotten, like, several street passes, haven't you? I heard that.
I got four. I got four when I went to see Rango. I think they were probably in or around GameStop because I wandered through the mall with the intent to get street passes. I got four, and
awesome.
they really don't do anything. I mean, I got some puzzle pieces, and I got a hat, and I got bodies to throw at the Find Me game.
So, do you have to get do you have to pass by another person in order to start a new puzzle? Because I just finished the Zelda or the Link puzzle, rather. And now it's like, you need to find more people. And I'm like, what the hell?
I haven't even completed the Mario Bowser puzzle yet.
Yeah,
so
I just completed one. And I was actually...
What annoys me is you can buy a puzzle piece, but it's not guaranteed to be a new one.
I actually hung out with new NWR staff writer Josh Max this weekend. He was... because we actually went to the same high school. So he was coming back home from college. And I actually hung out with him one night, and we had our 3DSs. And despite the fact that we passed by each other, we street passed each other multiple times... there's no record of it. Like, it was really frustrating.
That's weird.
Well, and he was saying that the same thing happened to him with another friend of his.
Do you have, like, the Wi-Fi switch on and all that?
Yeah.
Oh, that's really weird.
You know, one of the things we were talking about a little bit earlier was, like, with that Wi-Fi switch on, what I'm finding with the 3DS is that I leave this thing on all the time.
Same here.
I hardly ever turn my system off. There's no reason
to. I just shut the lid.
Shut the lid, put it into sleep mode, put it into the cradle, which, by the way, I love the cradle. I absolutely love having a cradle to just set it in at night without having to worry about, like, finding the plug and plugging in or whatever. I love it. And, like, the system is always online. Like, it's always there because there's no need to turn it off. I don't play it enough during the day to wear the battery out. You know, I played Pilot Wings for about an hour the other night, and the battery was still full. I couldn't believe it.
Wow.
Like, I'm really impressed with the hardware. And then the battery's not perfect, and I have run out once the very first night that I got the system. But, like, I like that it's always online. Like, it's not really all that useful yet, but...
I feel like it'll get there. I mean...
Given the pedometer thing and given the Street Pass thing, I have a feeling that the Street Pass thing could theoretically take off in the States. Not to the extent that it will in Japan, but...
I mean, I still remain very skeptical of the Street Pass thing, and I will continue to do so until I actually pass Street Pass someone. Which I have yet to do.
Right. Go to a GameStop.
Yeah, I guess I'll have to do that at some point. Because don't they have, like, the demo units are street passed up?
I wonder if that's one of my things was.
I've heard several podcasts mention that.
Yeah, I actually walked through a Best Buy, although it was pre-launch. So, but, like, I passed by the Pilot Wings demo. It was like,
yeah,
street
you might
pass,
not get anyone then.
Yeah, I mean, as far as, like, online, they're doing a little bit with kind of keeping that persistent online now. You guys wouldn't know because you don't have Street Fighter 4, but I have the Street Pass and Spot Pass set up for that. And on launch day, I got a message from Capcom being like, hey, guys, we're going to use Spot Pass for stuff. And then yesterday, actually, I guess this would be Monday of the week that you are hearing this, they actually sent out another Spot Pass that had a code for a figurine. And there's a whole, like, you know, they're talking to people before it, talking about how, you know, oh, I'm sure you're enjoying arcade and versus online, but have you seen the figurine Street Pass mode? Because you should. Here's a free block of figure. And
wow.
It seems like Capcom's taking advantage of that. And in Japan, with Samurai Warriors Chronicles, Tecmo has actually started doing the same thing, is that they're spot passing new levels. I don't know if this is actually a download or just an unlock key. Because it hasn't started in North America yet. So, I mean, companies are doing this at launch, albeit, I guess maybe it's trickling out a little bit. But once you have more games coming out in the system, I feel like that the persistent online nature of Spot Pass would be really cool. But we still don't have those kind of, or at least the promise of those kind of, like, Words with Friends-esque games on 3DS, where you have...
Yeah, we haven't really heard any news about anything like that, but the Spot Pass really opens the door for those kinds of experiences with asynchronous multiplayer, and that's something I enjoy on my iPhone.
You and your buzzwords.
It's because the device is always on, and Andy mentioned that now he always leaves his 3DS on, and it's always connected, assuming he's at his home or anywhere else with Wi-Fi.
Right.
I think that they should try and bring that kind of experience to the 3DS.
Yeah, I totally agree. Yeah, that's like you're saying with iPad. Like, we've been playing Carcassonne and Strategery, which is sort of a Risk-like board game. And you know, like Scrabble. I mean that's Words with Friends basically. But you know, I mean, Scrabble is a great asynchronous multiplayer game. And like even things like leaderboard chasing is sort of asynchronous gameplay. If you can always see your friends' leader or high scores.
Geometry Wars on 3DS with
yeah.
I was just thinking that,
like,
Neil.
I would cream my pants right now. And actually, going back to my apparent I guess maybe false report back from E3 where I was talking to a guy from Headstrong Games. When he was telling me about the possibility of Overkill 2, he also made some comment about how I made a comment about, because I don't know if Headstrong specifically worked on Geometry Wars Galaxies, but I know like they used to be Kuju, but and then Kuju.
What happens to the Geometry Wars IP now that Bizarre's gone?
They haven't owned the IP.
I think Activision. Owns
I think
because
it was Sierra owned, really? And then it was Activision owned.
I'm not sure if the 3DS will be able to do Geometry Wars as well as like the 360, because the dual analog really is a big part of that
true.
Game.
That's true.
Like,
yeah.
I thought it worked okay on DS, but it wasn't great.
But I do recall talking to Steve Pritchard from Headstrong, and he made some comment to me that was kind of vague about how if you're a fan of Geometry Wars, we'll likely have something similar to that on the 3DS. Or at least they were working on something similar. So, you know, that was almost a year ago. So whether or not that's actually going to happen, you don't know. But the idea of that is really cool. I mean, just the visuals would be cool. Maybe the controls wouldn't be as cool. But, dude, Geometry Wars in 3D?
That'd be amazing.
I'd almost rather they take some of the better concepts that Geometry Wars executes and apply them to a new IP that doesn't control exactly the same way.
That would be cool.
Not try to shoehorn Geometry Wars onto the system, and rather than just develop a new game that pulls from the best parts of Geometry Wars.
Well, I mean, you even have similar games actually coming to the system with the Pac-Man Galaga collection that's coming out.
Yeah.
That's actually going to have Pac-Man Championship Edition, although I don't know if they're going to have DX, although I think there's something like 6 modes that are going to be in it, and they've announced 4 of them. It's going to be like regular Pac-Man, regular Galaga, and then I think Galaga Legions and Pac-Man Championship Edition. And they're going to have online leaderboards with that, which was kind of funny because we had one news story one day that was saying about how Pac-Man Championship Edition was going to be on it. And on the talkback thread, I just said online leaderboards or bust. And then the next day, we got word there were online leaderboards in that game. And really, that's what they need to do more of. That's what a lot of these launch titles are lacking. Like, I would probably get more into the high score aspect of games like Steel Diver and Pilot Wings if I had your guys' scores to shoot for.
Well, it is weird that Pilot Wings doesn't have any kind of online component.
Yeah. The only launch game that has any online component is Street Fighter, unless you count Pass for Samurai Warriors. Well, the Samurai Warriors was supposed to have online co-op, but that got scrapped because it's a launch title.
I'd love to see Pac-Man Versus come back to life on the 3DS. That'd be great. I mean, online, which just do it online with multiplayer, and that was a really good game. I really enjoyed that game.
I'd really want to see a Tony Hawk graffiti mode revival with asynchronous multiplayer.
Dude, play Tony Hawk American Skate Land for DS. I mean, I guess go back in time and play that around when it came out. Because that was a launch title for Nintendo Wi-Fi connection on DS, and it had fucking awesome online.
Huh.
Really? Yeah.
I think I'd still rather play Tony Hawk 3.
Oh, no, I would too, don't get me wrong. I'm just saying that, at least for that kind of online mode, because it was made by Vicarious Visions, who... we all know, are wizards with Nintendo's online infrastructure, as they've proven with Guitar Hero games and the like.
And they're good on the DS, too. They do some good stuff.
That Tony Hawk game launched with Nintendo Wi-Fi connection and was probably one of the best online titles that's not called Pokemon for that service.
No, but what I'm thinking is, you know, I leave the 3DS on all the time, and I always see the little wireless light blinking at me even when the thing is shut, and I like that. But if I don't start getting some tangible rewards for that eventually, I'm not sure if I'll do that forever.
Right.
I think really you got to hold out until May. I don't think it's going to
be
good.
Yeah,
I was going to say,
I'm not giving up anytime soon, don't get me wrong, but I do kind of wonder what the long-term drawbacks of for the battery life are of having the thing on all the time. Like, I don't know if that's going to hurt the battery over the life of the system or what, but
you could always get a $10 battery.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm not too worried about
that.
And
I think if it's really going to be an issue, Nintendo's not going to be that dumb about it. They're not Microsoft. They're not going to charge you, you know, $100 for a external wireless or wireless connection.
I replaced my battery on my DS Lite, actually, and it didn't cost it's $30, I think.
Yeah,
they're reasonable about that. I think it's actually gone down.
I think they said something that for the 3DS you have 500 full charges.
Wow.
Okay. Mm.
Which, I mean, that's a lot. I mean, you might go through it, but even still, like, that's still a lot.
No, that's pretty slim when compared to most devices, I think. Because assuming this is something you charge daily because you drain it every day, your battery's gone in less than 2 years.
Hmm.
Which, you know, is a pretty slim lifetime for a mandatory battery replacement.
Just in time for the 3DS Lite to come out.
Yeah, sure.
You're right.
Well, you also, I mean, Nintendo does have a history of kind of undershooting those kind of things, like the battery life. How they're like, it's 3 hours. Like, no way. Maybe if everything was on to the full capacity 24/7, and you also were pissing on the battery. Like, I mean, I felt like I was playing a different game system than a lot of people when I had it before launch. Because I was like, people are complaining about the battery. This isn't really anything different from, like, my DSi. Like, okay, it's a little worse. Like, it's also a 3D screen. I get it.
Right. And if you turn off the 3D screen, I mean, that's really going to
Yeah. And you turn down the brightness a couple notches. And if you really want to, turn off the wireless, and that'll save the battery life, too.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
But, yeah. I mean,
yep.
I mean, I think the bigger concern with the 3DS, I mean, it'd be nice to have this persistent online. We also need more games outside of these launch games, because there ain't not much on the horizon.
So, no.
But I think we'll find out about more games.
Out, right?
Well, May is when the shop launches. Have they actually confirmed any sort of, like, 3DSware service yet?
Nope. I mean, we know it exists.
That's still unconfirmed, really. I mean, yeah, we expect it to happen. No, I'm not concerned about that, but they haven't said much, if anything, about what that's going to be like.
Yeah.
That's true.
I mean, and I guess for all you that made it this far, we actually got an email today from our Nintendo rep. Aaron's going to be checking out Ocarina of Time 3D next week. So I think that's kind of a solid confirmation that, yeah, for real, that game's coming out in June.
Yeah.
So that's cool.
It almost has to.
Yeah, I mean, there's not much else. I mean,
whatever else.
Andy and I have been working on planning out the quarter two reviews, and looking at that, it's pathetic. I mean, really, for every system.
It is pathetic, yeah.
But even for 3DS, it doesn't really look like, you know, I mean, maybe it's the lull with the launch window, but Nintendo was talking about this, you know, this boisterous launch window, and I'm looking at it, I'm like, all right, you got like 5 Ubisoft games, Green Lantern, and Cubic Ninja. Oh, wait, no, that's a Ubisoft game.
Yeah.
Like, I think that's almost every 3DS game, and maybe that Cartoon Network Smash Brothers game that looks really cool, but I have a feeling that's not going to make it. I think that's going to get delayed.
Dead or Alive.
Oh, yeah, Dead or Alive. Yeah, I mean, that game is going to be really fucking awesome. It looks great.
It is. I'm excited.
I'm not even a huge Dead or Alive fan, but just the package that is being put together for that looks awesome.
It does. Hmm.
It's a really great, maybe not really great, but it's a very competent 3D fighter.
Yeah.
I'm better at that kind of a fighting game than Street Fighter.
It's also, I would argue that the touchscreen, I guess, assistance for that game is even more ridiculous than Street Fighter, because literally you can just tap the touchscreen, and like there's this whole, like, it's basically just like a list of moves, and you just tap which move you want to do. It's like hysterical to see played. I think there's some videos of it online.
I need that for Soul Calibur.
But I tried that. I tried that at the event back in January, and I'm just sitting there with the stylus, just pressing moves, watching my character pull them off. I mean, with Street Fighter, you can only pick through four. From this, it's the entire move set.
You'll literally be dialing in your combo.
I think with that witty remark from Zach, that's all the newscast we can give you today.
It would be illegal to give you more.
Thank you for listening.
Boy.
Please visit us on iTunes and review us kindly. And visit the TalkBack thread.
And say hi to us.
To have interesting, riveting discussions.
We might talk back. Actually, yeah, we totally will.
We might talk back to your TalkBack.
Yeah, usually when like one person leaves a response, then every one of us will reply with our own two cents, even if it's largely the same thing. We just like talking to our quote-unquote fans.
It's
even
true.
If we're sad with you, we'll still talk to you.
Even if you want to just be like, yeah, man, I've been really bummed out lately, we'll be like, yeah, me too.
What, you think I have friends? You're my friends.
All of you.
Listeners. All right. and on that
just end this? Please take it out back and shoot it, something like that.
Game over.
Goodbye.
Game over, man.